Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. A lot to talk about tonight as well. Been a lot happening in our nation, and we're going to touch on some things here this evening. It's just, like I said, it's not been a slow news week. There's been a lot going on. And I want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more information about me, the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, find out about our church there and about the radio program. I just realized what I said might sound like I was saying there's somebody else that's the pastor of the church. I am the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, so you can find out about me. And there's a number of articles that are there, all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can read those various articles and some other materials. You can listen to past programs. If you are in an area where you do not hear the first hour of our Sunday night program, we're on from 10 o'clock until midnight, you can listen to those programs at livewithpastoral.com. And if you're in an area you do not hear our Friday afternoon program, we're on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And those programs are also available all at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check that out. And there's some other materials and things that are there. Hopefully it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you and help in your walk with Christ. All right, I want to mention a couple other things here too before we get started. Give out that phone number again, 888-677-9673, and we're going to get to some callers here hopefully here in a little bit. But as we start off the program, I do want to touch on something here before we get caught up in some of the news of the day. And I was talking with Terry in Canada, who is still with me. And Terry, we were talking about the Gospel of John, chapter number 3 in particular. And before I get into some of the news of the day, and especially for some of the folks that are joining us in Florida and elsewhere, I wanted to bring you back up, and we're talking about John chapter 3 here. And you had brought up the first, I think we were talking about, what was it, the first five verses or so, first six verses of the chapter. But you had mentioned something while we were talking about it, about so many good things that are in this chapter. And I just wanted to mention here and get your thought on a couple things there too before we jump in. I think you had another question. But this, of course, is famous to a lot of people because of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So this is a great chapter, but you had something else you wanted to bring up in here, too, real quick, didn't you?
Well, yeah, actually, I was going to do a summary through the whole chapter. But one thing I was going to mention about that baptism in verse 5.
Mm-hmm. And for our listeners that are looking in, we're talking about when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus where he had asked a question about being born again, and Jesus had basically said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," in verse 5, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And in the context there, without going through everything again, but in the context, Nicodemus was saying, "Okay, I had a physical birth. How can I have a second physical birth?" And Jesus is saying, "Listen, except a man be born of water," that's physical birth, "except you have a physical birth and then a spiritual birth, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then verse 6, he clarified it again, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's the physical birth. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he essentially told Nicodemus, You had a physical birth, now you need a spiritual birth. You don't need two physical births. You only need one physical birth, but you also need a spiritual birth. You need to be born again. That's the spiritual birth when we are saved. So, but go ahead.
Well, one thing that if there's other people that believe that this is saying baptism, if mm-hmm. that's the case, that is talking about baptism. If that's the case, that we have to be, then we have to be baptized without exception. It's a must.
Well, and that's what some people teach, but that's not what Jesus is saying here, obviously. And so they have to contort the scripture in order to fit that in here, and claim something other than what the text says. But we can pick up some more on John chapter 3 at a later date, because I got some other things I need to get into here yet before the night goes as well. But this is such an important chapter, and as we were discussing, this is a chapter that's great for new Christians to read and study the entire Gospel of John. And anybody that's got questions about the Bible, questions about Christianity, maybe looking at it as a non-Christian, let me recommend one of the first parts of the Bible to read might be the Gospel of John, and then follow that by the book of Romans. I think that's the best introduction to Christianity. Rather than trying to start in the book of Genesis and read all the way through to Revelation, start the Gospel of John, read it maybe a couple of times, and then read Revelation a couple of times. Oh, I'm sorry, Revelation. That'll get you confused real quick if you're a new Christian. Romans, and read Romans a couple of times. And between the two of them, you'll have a lot of questions answered, and it'll give you the basis for understanding much of what else is in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments. So.
In verse 18, I'd like to mention in verse 18, I think,
John 3:18.
John 3:18, just to warn people that how important it is for us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says here, he that believes on him is not condemned. You won't be condemned. You'll have everlasting life.
Well, and another key with that is he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, and this is what a lot of people don't realize, he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already condemned. You do not have to reach a point where you suddenly say, I don't believe. You're already in the position of unbelief until you put your faith in Christ. And it also, if you notice, it doesn't say you have to do a certain amount of sins in order to be saved. In order to be condemned. You're already condemned. You have to proactively.
According to the flesh.
Right, right. You have to proactively do something, and that something is believe. And that belief is believe the gospel message that Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh, came into this world, lived a perfect life without sin, and then willingly went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin, your sin, my sin. And then he was buried. He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. If we'll confess our sin and believe that Christ did that for us, the Bible says we can have the forgiveness of sin, but only when we confess our sin, realizing that we owe the price, not just, okay, I've sinned, Jesus died on the cross, okay, I'm saved. No, you confess your sin, you admit, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve what Jesus went through. I should have been on that cross, not him. That's what I deserve. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It talks about hell, and it's a recognition. I deserve hell. And when we reach that point, then we reach out for a Savior, don't we?
Yeah, and a lot of people really don't understand is what they need to understand is how sin entered into the world.
Yeah,
Through one man.
Right, through rebellion against God, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And Romans will get into that for somebody as well. And as a consequence, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to actively respond to the gospel message and put our faith in Christ in order to be saved, because we're already by default in the unsaved category. We don't become unsaved. We're already there until we put our faith in Christ.
It's very important that people see that, because if they don't, then they'll they'll be living in darkness for
right
for all eternity.
Exactly. And so that's the message. That's the gospel. Word. There's the wonderful thing about being with the Lord, but there's also the terrible negative about eternity in the lake of fire without God if we don't put our faith in Christ. So, well, Terry, I got to get into a couple other things here tonight before we run short on time, but appreciate you bringing up some of these things in the Gospel of John for us. It's an excellent passage there to be looking at. So thanks again. Appreciate it. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is open, 888-677-9673. We can get to your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I wanted to touch on something that's happened on Capitol Hill. And we saw this past week the number of votes, I think it was 15 votes before Representative McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, became elected as Speaker of the House. And depending on who you listen to, we were either in a constitutional crisis, the end of civilization as we know it, the Republican holdouts were making a mockery, they're a terroristic threat to democracy, all this stuff that was being thrown out there. But my understanding of the Constitution, our form of government and history, is that they were actually doing what the system is designed to do, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But I want you to hear something, that this is the vote there in D.C., and we're going to play the clip where they give the vote count. Listen to the number of votes. I edited it down with the applause and everything, and there's a little applause at the end that I left in. But this is the vote that came finally, as a result of the 15th vote.
In their tallies, that the total number of votes cast is 428. Of which the Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California has received 216. The Honorable Hakeem Jeffries of the state of New York has received 212, with 6 recorded as present. Therefore, the Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Now, there was a lot more applause there, and if you watched the video and saw that, when the vote count for Kevin McCarthy was given, pretty much all of the Republicans were clapping and cheering and many of them on their feet and all that, and the Democrats over on the Democrat side largely just sat there. No clapping, no cheering, no nothing. When the vote count for Jeffries was given, it was kind of amazing. The Democrats, it was just like, oh, this is the greatest thing. Oh, this is wonderful. And they all on their feet clapping and cheering and all. And then again, when the final results were given that McCarthy was elected Speaker of the House, the Democrats again all sat there while the Republicans were cheering. And they say, well, okay, what's the point of all this? Well, here's what was going on. Kevin McCarthy was largely predicted and thought that he would win the speakership. And, you know, was he my favorite? No, he wasn't. Was he the favorite of a lot of conservatives? Absolutely not. You know, he's voted against our values on many things in his term in the House. And he voted for that atrocious spending bill, $1.5 or whatever trillion dollars, just absolutely unreal. I think he, if I remember correctly, he voted on the Disrespect for Marriage Act, saying that the state's got to recognize same-sex marriages and all that. And there's just a number of other things where he has not been on our side. But see, here's where the system worked. Had they done what they've done the last several speakers, where everybody gets together in a back room and they come to an agreement, and then they come out and they say, here's the vote, and they vote in the first vote, and then Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and whoever is Speaker of the House. And, you know, that's what people come to expect. But in the past, there have been some raucous knockdown dragouts in the House. One time back in the 1800s, it was over 100 votes before they settled on somebody. But what happened last week? It wasn't a constitutional crisis. What happened last week is, I believe that we as Christians and as conservatives won some victories in this series of votes. And here's what I mean. Not all of these are directly things that we would say, well, here's what we as Christians believe about this, but most of them do affect us considerably. And one of those things, of course, is that the conservative holdouts, the conservative senators, Republican holdouts, they were able to get McCarthy to agree to a number of things. One of them is that they're going to vote separately on 12 different appropriation bills, from agriculture to defense spending to transportation, rather than allow them to be bundled together in one giant end-of-the-year omnibus spending bill like we just saw last December, just a couple of weeks ago. Instead of doing this, they're going to have to take these bills apart. And the military spending, for instance, isn't going to be held hostage to what's spent on LGBTQ Kennedy Awards, you know, Kennedy Center Awards or something nonsensical. They're going to try and group them together. This is a good thing. This allows us to have spending bills, say, on national security without it being linked to federal support of abortion and other things. So this is a benefit for us as believers. We also have some other things that took place there, and they agreed, McCarthy has agreed to reinstate what's called the Holman Rule, which is a law rule that allows for the reduction in government salaries, government official salaries and compensation. And this has an opportunity to rein in people like Fauci, who was the highest paid person working for the federal government, Mr. Science himself, I'm sorry, Mr. I Am the Science himself, his financial situation was assured as far as he was concerned. Well, under the Holman Rule, it might not be as assured as he might have thought it would be. Here's another thing that they have agreed to do. They've agreed to lower the number of GOP, the Republican conference members needed to start the process of removing the Speaker of the House. It's known in the Congress as a motion to vacate. Currently, it is five, and it's now down to one. McCarthy said he wouldn't budge from that number, but in order to get the votes of the holdouts of the conservative Republican representatives that finally voted for him, he agreed. This is something that can hopefully hold him in check if he goes too far toward the left, too far toward positions that we as conservatives cannot abide. It'll be much easier to start a process that could conceivably remove him from the speakership. Let's see. Here's another one here, that the weaponization of federal government. He agreed to create a subcommittee looking into the weaponization of federal government. Well, if you've been following the Twitter files that have been released, it's one thing that is clear is the U.S. intelligence agencies have been all over Twitter, and the FBI has been embedded in Twitter. And Twitter is just the tip of the iceberg. We're not the Twitter files don't tell us what's going on with Facebook, what's going on with Google, what's going on with all these other social platforms, which assuredly the federal government, the intelligence agencies, the FBI are all over them as well, monitoring. And in the case of what happened with the refusal to allow posting on Twitter and presumably on Facebook and elsewhere on the Hunter laptop thing during the last presidential election, there's a number of people who have admitted that if they knew about it, they wouldn't have voted for Biden. So the weaponization of the federal government against political rivals of the administration, they're going to set up a subcommittee looking at this, probing the federal government's information collection on private individuals, as well as its ongoing criminal investigations, potentially targeting also the Department of Justice's raid on President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. So these are some things that may be a benefit for us. McCarthy also agreed to keep the Congressional Leadership Fund. It's a super PAC out of open House primary races for seats considered safe, and to appoint some of the right-wing House Freedom Caucus members to seats on the House Rules Committee. Now, these things would not have happened had all of the Republicans voted in lockstep for McCarthy and made him Speaker of the House on the first vote. And he also promised to give House members a 72-hour period in which to review bills before they come up to the floor, rather than introducing a 5-trillion-page, now it's a little hyperbole, obviously, a bill that's 5 feet thick and saying, okay, here it is, read it, and we're going to vote in an hour. No, they're going to have at least 72 hours. And to require a vote to raise the federal debt limit and hold votes on congressional term limits and border security. These are all things that McCarthy has apparently agreed to that would not have been agreed to had the Republicans voted in lockstep. So this is not a constitutional crisis. This is not the failure of the system. This is the system working so that people like us can have a greater voice in the U.S. House, so that McCarthy, as Speaker of the House, will be reminded that he needs to at least consider the conservative side of the Republican Party, those who are pro-life, pro-family, and these other areas that we talk about. And I find it telling. Sometimes you get your best statements from your enemies. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, talking about this, criticized McCarthy's concessions, saying, accusing the Speaker of having, quote, surrendered to the demands of a fringe element of the Republican Party, quote, paving the way for a MAGA Republican-controlled House to cause a government shutdown or government default with devastating consequences to our country. Well, I think that if he's that upset with it, then it must be a good thing. So they got it through. The system worked. McCarthy was reined in from going too far to the Democrat side with his actions as Speaker. The conservatives, such as Jim Jordan here in Ohio and others, will have a greater opportunity to exercise their voice their conservative values. The House Freedom Caucus members will have greater influence than what would have been otherwise. So continue to pray for our country, continue to pray for our nation, pray for your representatives there in the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as, of course, the senators there in Washington, D.C., and pray for those in your local state house as well. They all need our prayers. And of course, Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I've said this several times here lately. He wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And as I pointed out, the next verse talks about it, so that we can do the work that God's given us to do, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Pray for our political leaders. Get involved. Let them know how you feel. If you're in an area where your representative was one of these holdouts, thank them for what they helped accomplish in D.C. this past week. Thank them for slowing down the rhino side of the Republican Party and giving us on the conservative side a little greater voice. We need to be thankful for them. If you're in an area where your representative is upset with what took place, why don't you call and let them know what you think. I am thankful. I thank God that he caused some things to take place last week so that hopefully it'll go a little ways toward us leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, like Paul wrote about. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling in tonight. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yeah, good program.
Well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent show. And I'm glad you're on for 2 hours now.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. It's challenging, but...
But there's a lot to talk about.
So oh, boy, is there.
Yeah, sometimes maybe you ought to just split the show up and tell us, you know, give us the little Bible verses and talk about that and talk about current events, and then maybe the last hour open the lines up. That's up to you. It's your show.
Well, yeah, and we do it kind of what we're doing because, you know, we have part of our audience is only hearing the last hour. Part of our audience is hearing both hours. And then, of course, there's some people who only hear the first hour. So I try to give a little bit in each hour, phone call opportunities, talking about the Bible, talking about current events. And
I think you're very fair.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I try to have the more national things in the second hour because that's when we have more people from outside of just the state of Ohio that are listening.
Oh,
we have Florida and different ones.
When I came Friday, you know, at first I thought it was a bad thing what was happening with, you know, the House, the federal House, until you explained that this is a good thing because the system really is working to draw it into more conservative thought. So, I learned something too Friday because I, you know, I first reacted last week when I heard the news that they, you know, McCarthy was getting shot down and I thought, oh, that it's in a mess down there. And what are we going to end up with, a big liberal and, you know, as a speaker, you know?
Right, right. And, like I said, if it weren't for the actions of these conservative holdouts, we would have McCarthy there with no reason to consider the positions of the more conservative members.
Yeah, and I didn't realize. I thought he was more conservative, but I'm did a little research over the weekend. He's kind of jumps back and forth when he's under Trump there.
Yeah, and but
he seems to play both ends.
Absolutely. Well, that's what politicians, a lot of them, do.
Oh, absolutely. They do. They're well in the back of their mind. They want to get reelected. So.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I've got the music coming up, and we haven't got to your question yet, really. So can you hold through the break?
Oh, yeah. I'd be glad to.
All right. Well, we've got a break coming up here in just a few seconds. And then after the break, we've got another half hour to go. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Follow us online at livewithpastoral.com, and you can learn more about me there, also about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. We're located in northeastern Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, and you can find out more about that, livewithpastoral.com. You can read some articles that we have there. Listen to past programs. You can listen to not only both of our Sunday night hours. We're on from 10 o'clock until midnight. Some places only have the 11 to midnight portion, but all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. And some places don't hear our Friday afternoon program, 1:30 till 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons. You can listen to those at livewithpastoral.com as well. And of course, there's some other materials and things there that hopefully will be a blessing and encouragement to you. So check that out. There's also a listing of social media platforms that we're active on. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can see some of them. We're on, of course, Facebook and Twitter and also Telegram, Truth Social, MeWe, Getter, Gab, let's see here, Minds, Parler, USA.life, YouTube, Zapit, X-A-P-I-T. I think those are the ones that we're on right now. There's another one I think that we're working with, trying to get some stuff, Substack, some articles on Substack, but I not get all that worked out, all the details on that. I need to get a link to that and everything. But we're trying to put some things out there, because trying to do more than just have people on the radio and talk to a few people. We're trying to put some materials out online that hopefully be a help, be a blessing to people, encouragement to people. And so you can find that all out live with Pastor Al. com. We were talking the last half hour with a caller we're going to join up with here in just a moment. But if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're talking to Tom tonight. Tom, welcome back. We were talking before the break here, so we'll get you back for your question.
Okay, so the question is this. It kind of stems off of what you were talking about with what's going on in the House.
Uh-huh.
And I remember prior to the election and then shortly after, they promised, the Republicans in the House promised that they were going to open up investigations into things like the Biden, Biden's son and,
right.
And some of these other things, the January 6th debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And other things. And then I heard, I don't want to take it out of context, but I did hear something on the radio within the last couple weeks, and I don't know who said it. I only caught part of it, but they were saying that the Justice Department was kind of leading into the idea that if the Republicans start opening up cans of worms, they're going to go after investigating some of the House members.
Well, and that's an interesting thing because and part of that gets back to the fact that we have government divided into three branches, the legislative, the judicial, and the executive, and that's the checks and balances in our system. And right. So the executive can do this to try and keep in check the legislative. But when we get to what you just mentioned, this is because the executive side has, so much indication that there's corruption, that there is weaponization of the federal government agencies against political opposition, against private citizens, and that when the legislative tries to exercise their checks and balances to do some investigation into this themselves, you have the executive branch responding by saying, oh, you investigate us, we're going to investigate you individually. It's a chilling thing because they're making threats there, trying to keep themselves from being investigated. And when you look at the Department of Justice and the things that are going on there, it's by the grace of God that Merrick Garland was not sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court. Look at the problems that he's caused being head of the Department of Justice. Think what would have happened if he had gotten on to the U.S. Supreme Court. We got to thank God for that.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you, though, it's like it's pretty, it's like the confidence, though, is really gone as far as our justice system anymore. It's really dubious.
Oh, absolutely. And, when we look at this, you talked about the justice system, there are some things, and I'm not going to have time, I can tell by the clock, and I've got somebody else calling in as well. But let me just mention something here that people might want to look up. There are two cases right now that the U.S. Supreme Court is considering, and this is not, some far-wing conspiracy theory formulated by people strung out on hopium. The U.S. Supreme Court, you can go to their docket. What is it? I can't think of it right off the top of my head. But the U.S. Supreme Court has a website where they have a number of things listed, and one of them, of course, is a case, the Brunson case. And this one here in the Brunson case, there's allegations that members of the executive and legislative branches of the government failed to uphold their oath of office and ought to be removed from office. We're talking about not just one or two, we're talking about hundreds. And when you look at the potential, supremecourt.gov is the U.S. Supreme Court site. But when you look at the potential here, it's everything from throwing us into a constitutional crisis to perhaps throwing out President Biden, Vice President Harris, and hundreds of sitting members of the House and Senate. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to this. They were scheduled to look at this case just on Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not something that somebody's hoping to get to the court. It's at the court, and it was on the docket to be reviewed last Friday as to whether or not they're going to do a full hearing and make a rule on this. Like I said, I don't have time to get into all of it tonight. I'm running out of time.
I know you were talking about the other night.
Yeah.
So I know it's really yeah. interesting, but I'll just close with this and let you get on with your other call. I'm just praying that that the Lord shakes things up, and I'm hoping that 2023 will be a very interesting year to turn the tide of events and what's going on in our government right now. So,
I think it is going to be a very interesting year, to be sure.
Amen. Yeah. And like you said, let's all keep praying. That's the most important thing. That's the most powerful weapon we have is our prayer.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that, Tom. Thanks for calling. And just encourage me, keep praying. The other case that the court is looking at is Moore versus Harper. And this has to do with a redistricting map developed by a state legislature, which was rejected by a state court, which then enlisted a third party to draw a new fair map. So this is also going to the Supreme Court, which would give the Supreme Court an opportunity to rule once and for all that the Constitution means what it says in several areas. And again, I don't have time to get into all this tonight, these are things that are there, and when we saw the current court overturn Roe v. Wade, what would happen? What would happen if, for instance, the court ruled that the last presidential election was unconstitutional, which it has the potential in the Brunson case of ruling, Brunson versus Alma, I believe it is, what would happen? Of course, I look at it and I think, well, even if they did, how would the Supreme Court enforce the ruling? If they said that the executive branch, if Biden and Kamala need to be removed from office, how's the Supreme Court going to do that? If they say hundreds of members of the House and Senate need to be removed from office, how are they going to do that? I don't know how they would be able to do that. Somebody said, well, maybe they would use martial law or use the military. Well, the military is under the executive branch, not the judicial branch. But again, these are not normal times. And as we were talking with Tom there, but it may be that the current Supreme Court justices see that there are some serious things coming on the horizon, and they believe that they need to at least voice an opinion on some of these, hopefully to prevent larger civil unrest and some things resulting from what large segments of the population consider to be just absolute blatant violations of the Constitution and oaths to uphold the Constitution by public officials. So again, pray, like Paul said, pray for our country, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Deborah calling in tonight. Deborah, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. I need the chapter and verses from where it says Sodom and Gomorrah, and God gave them up to a reprobate mind. There was a talk show person on the radio last week, and he implied, or he stated, that he didn't find that that's not in the Bible. And I know it is in the Bible because that is an abomination to God.
Right. Sodom and Gomorrah, the account, is in Genesis, because Lot is Abraham's relative, and it's in Genesis chapter 13, chapter 14 through there, and it gives some of the information there about. Chapter 19. I was a little too early in there. Yeah. And this is where the angels, and it was discussed in chapter 18 as well. There's where we're at. Let me go back to chapter 18 here. I'm just trying to thumb through here quickly. In chapter 18, the angel of the Lord appears before Abram here, and he goes in and he speaks with him, and in the course of it, let's drop down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I remember that.
Yeah, and verse number 20 says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." And the name Sodom and Gomorrah ought to give you some idea of the the nature of the sin. Sodom has become synonymous with the term sodomy, because of rampant, widespread homosexuality practice there. And Gomorrah as well, is also applied to some sexually transmitted diseases and, well, just a little bit different spelling. And so we can see that these cities were, and history shows they were infamous for their immorality, in particular in the sexual realm.
And that's why God gave them up, because they
right.
had a reprobate mind.
And he goes on talking about that, and the sin being very grievous, and that's echoed over in Romans chapter 1, where people say, the talk about homosexuality and stuff, that's only Old Testament. But in Romans chapter 1, we see the same sort of things where God says, Romans 1, starting verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen."
That's in Romans chapter 1.
One, right. I started in verse number 24, I believe, there, and you'll see it when you look at it. Then he says in verse 26, "And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Vile affections. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature."
That's it.
"And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And then it says in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient."
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting into what you said, isn't it?
Yes, it is, sir. And that is Romans 1, chapter 1.
Right, right.
In 24 and 26.
Yeah, if you jump in and start in reading about verse number, the larger thing starts up a little further up about verse number 21. Or 20, rather.
Have the reprobate mind.
But the reprobate mind verse is verse number 28.
Verse number 28, and God
Correct.
Gave them up to reprobate mind.
Right.
And this was from, let me see, Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah. That's all. What was the number 80 chapter? What did you say about 80, or was that not 80?
Well, we were in Genesis chapter 18. God was talking to Abraham about the sin, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah coming before him because the sin was grievous. And Then, of course, in chapter 19 is where the angels come into Sodom.
And we see
the example of the depravity of the people in Sodom in chapter 19.
Right. That's Genesis 18 and 19 on that.
Correct.
And the other one is that goes to Romans
chapter 1.
24 and 26 to 28.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah, and it actually goes through the end of the chapter, because the end of the chapter says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's because they've been given over to a reprobate mind.
Reprobate mind. And it says on there, in those chapters, reprobate mind.
Right. And that specifically is in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, where it says a reprobate mind.
Okay. That's great. You're fabulous. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I appreciate the call tonight. And glad to be of help there. And, you know, that is New Testament, Romans chapter 1. This is not Old Testament. Some people will say, well, if it's in the Gospels, it's still technically, you know, before the cross, so it's sort of Old Testament type stuff. But no, this is New Testament. This is in the age of grace. God still says it's sin. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and had a couple other things, and I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to take out tonight, but I did want to touch on something else here, and I'm trying to shuffle through my papers to find out what I had. Here it is. 60 Minutes a week ago had somebody whom I remember as a young teenager reading his book, The Population Bomb, Paul Ehrlich. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but Paul Ehrlich is a biologist. Now, I had a biology degree myself, and so I was interested. And so when I had the opportunity to read The Population Bomb back in the 1970s, I think he wrote it about 1968, he made these fantastic claims that essentially by the 1990s, everybody was going to be starving and overcrowded, wearing gas masks, and there'd be no resources left hardly at all, and the world would be such a burned-out, polluted cinder. Why would anybody want to have kids? Later on, he admitted, well, he exaggerated just a tad. And on 60 Minutes, they had him on, and they said that Ehrlich has predicted about 20 extinctions over the past 60 years. He's like 90, 91 years old right now. They said he's a leading expert on the issue. Well, he's a leading expert on failure to predict these things. But I just got a little clip here from 60 Minutes, which we're going to play, of biologist Paul Ehrlich and his predictions now.
Too many people, too much consumption, and growth mania.
At the age of 90, biologist Paul Ehrlich may have lived long enough to see some of his dire prophecies come true.
You seem to be saying that humanity is not sustainable.
No, humanity is not sustainable. To maintain our lifestyle, yours and mine, basically, for the entire planet, you'd need 5 more Earths. Not clear where they're going to come from.
Just in terms of the resources that would be required.
Resources that would be required... the systems that support our lives, which of course are the biodiversity that we're wiping out. Humanity is very busily sitting on a limb that we're sawing off.
You know, when you listen to this man, if you didn't hear the things that he was writing before, like I said, 1968, he published the book, The Population Bomb. I read this as a young teenager in the 1970s, I think mid-1970s when I read it. And this book made me feel like our days were numbered. And guess what? Listening to him again in 2023, you know what? He's not saying anything different than what he said in 1968. He's making the same outrageous claims that we're about to kill ourselves off, that we're not going to last much longer. This is the stuff that Al Gore and Greta Thunberg and these people are promoting in the world today. And I remember hearing this, reading this, seeing this when I was a young teenager, thinking, why would I even want to grow up and go on with life? I mean, there's just, there's nothing to live for. By the 1980s, you know, just in less than 10 years, my life is going to be so miserable, would it even be worth living? And certainly by the 1990s, I'll probably be dead because the world will be unlivable. And this guy and his cronies assured us of that. And guess what? None of that happened. None of that happened. And they're the same people that promoted the global ice age in the 1970s and then changed to global warming and now climate change. And this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And, you know, I, as a believer, I take a little solace in the Word of God. God said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, to Noah and his family after they got off the ark, while the earth remain a seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God has a plan. And when you read about it in the Word of God, you see that there's tremendous things that are going to be happening in this world. Yet Ehrlich and his cronies are false prophets. They're liars in many cases. He's a liar. He admitted previously that he exaggerated just a little on these things. And his reason? He said he wanted to motivate people to take steps to do things. Well, part of the reason is that him and his cronies believe that there should only be 500 million, that's with an M, not a B, 500 million people in the entire world, and that everybody should be living in these little communities. Go look up online 15-minute cities. They're starting to implement the things that were laid out in the Population Bomb and other hysteric books that were printed in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, 90s, in the aughts, in the teens, and even in the 20s. Go with the book of truth, the Word of God, that not only tells us what's going to come to this world, but it also tells what's going to happen to you. And don't be upset when you see these things begin to pass. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. If you know Christ as your Savior, I hope you do. Read the Word of God. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.